Deprived of their legal rights, they feel imprisoned in their own land.
Por no tener documento. Para abrir una cuenta bancaria, te piden el documento.
Out of work, out of money, they have to live in a hell of pain, poverty, and isolation.
Aquí donde juega la criatura, junto a una cárcel, jugando a un niño, imagínate cómo van a crecer cuando sean mayores.
No funciona igual que funciona en la península.
This is the story of those who have been left to their fate in the dustbin of oblivion and injustice. Children of Monte Maria Cristina.
This street used to be called Rote Chokat in the past. It was actually Street A, and now it's Rote Chokat. I was born in this street, number 11. We used to live in Maria Cristina Hills. My mother, as I said, was born in Cañada de Vino.
We were born and bred in the neighborhood of Cañada de la Muerte. We moved from there, Cañada de la Muerte, to the hills from childhood.
And we moved from there to here. Me, my brother, and my little sister were born in here, but not my older brother. He was born in the house above. Of course, we had rented there.
And we became acquainted with each other here in the hills, with all the residents, all the alleyways, the whole neighborhood, and all the streets. The name of this street is Bidasoa. You get my point? When we came here, the majority of neighbors were Spanish, but now none has remained. We had clicked with most of them, with all the neighbors, no matter Muslim or Christian.
Muslims who were used to be called by this name in all military documents at the time were deprived of any citizens' rights. So, as it is stated in the documents, anyone who could afford a living in the city was considered not as a resident, but just a dweller. Resident is a legal term and denotes legal settlement in a neighborhood with the entirety of citizens' rights, which regretfully was not true for Muslims, and they were not valued.
Before giving a residence card, they gave us a blank colored paper sheet, which was of no use. You get my point? They had told us we would take up residency. Even I would not be granted residency, for I had been born there. You know what they did to me? Sure you don't. They told me I had been born in Farhana, whereas I have proof for my birthplace.
Tengo testigo hasta donde nací.
En el año 85,
In 1985, there were conditions prevailing due to operationalization of immigration law. The law, which was first by, how can I put it, was approved by changing the system into democracy. This law was introduced in a democratic period and was enforced on some 40,000 Muslims, the majority of whom had been in this city and land. The law, which was unfair in our views and treated individuals as strangers and foreigners in their homeland. Tierra Omnium Association is composed of a range of individuals at the head of whom is Omar Dudu. And they decide to send out a summons for a Muslim community to elicit their reaction in this regard. In no time period was this idea that this movement would end up like this. An assortment of protests and rallies which lasted for approximately 2.5 years that, by collecting evidence and the documents, came to the fore.
Se encontraron con la sorpresa de que la población bereber musulmana respondió.
We had called it Nekua. This was the only evidence we had in our youth, and it was of no use.
Que no servía para nada.
Census card, as the name suggests, was just a number for counting the population. It would never allow you to travel even across these 180 kilometers to Malaga or the 120 kilometers to Motorail. These are the nearest borders to this area. This card wouldn't allow you to purchase, to work, to provide housing, scholarship, government aid, and in all it wouldn't grant you any right. Of course, you were liable for it, but it wouldn't allow you any right.
This is our childhood.
Here,
this is me.
This is my aunt, and this is me myself.
Childhood days.
Yeah, childhood in the neighborhood.
This is my first son in his childhood. I gave birth about 40, 51 years ago. He's around 8 months old here.
Porque tenía mi hijo con...
I am the daughter of Isha Mana Hamu, and my father's name is Muhammad Alal. I was born here in the hills in 1955. Since 1955, I have had only one card, the census card, and no other cards. I can neither exit nor enter. By and large, I can do nothing, just nothing.
Mi padre trabajaba aquí en la obra.
My father works here in a construction business, and they ask him for a generous pay slip to be able to legalize his family's stay. When he landed a decent job with a high salary, he didn't get round to legalizing my status. He passed away in April 2005, and since then our status has been legalized. Four of us are still illegal. Our home is fully legal and holds residence and municipality permit. In order for the municipality to put you on the list, it asks you for the deeds of your house, which have to be registered in your name. And the deeds are in my name, because I was the heir to it. Upon submission of the deeds, I was required an ID card, and I offered my passport, which they did not accept. They said they couldn't record anyone's name with the Moroccan passport, although the house was registered in my name.
No se puede empadronar con el pasaporte marroquí, aunque la casa sea mía.
In point of fact, one situation changes in terms of their status, and in some cases, it's very different. In some households of 10, for instance, only 5 of them hold residency, and the other 5 are illegal. Some cases are exceptional in this way. From my perspective, when all household members were born in the same place, you cannot count 5 of them as Moroccan, 5 of them as resident immigrants, and the other 5 as Spanish. Can you?
Algunos son...
Some of them are twins born on the very same day, month, and date. They're twins, but one holds residency and the other not. How on earth is that possible when both were born on the same day? How come one is legal and the other lacks residence card when they're twins? When one of them intends to travel, he has to travel with his brother's residence card, and after arrival, he needs to post the card to his brother so that he can travel just in case.
Le manda el documento a su hermano por si quiere viajar también.
There are some individuals as well who, in spite of taking an oath of allegiance and adopting Spanish nationality, that is, after undergoing all the procedures for assuming Spanish nationality, were incarcerated for a minor offense and lost their nationality. And after emancipation, this person could neither go back to Morocco, for he was no longer considered as its resident and held no relation with that country, nor stay in Melilla, because he lacked residency. These exceptional and extraordinary circumstances led to the current situation, indicating that those regulations were not sufficient or did not include all Melilla's people, because many of Melilla's dwellers or its Muslim citizens remained on the border of these regulations, many of whom were refused using immigration law and consequently failed to take a residence card and had no right of assuming nationality. As a result, they're living illegally. These state of affairs cause that presently a collection of 100 or 200 people, if we can call them a collection of course, of 40 or 45 years of age on average, are living under illegal circumstances. Just because these people were born in Melilla, Morocco reserves no right for them. That is to say, they hold neither a Moroccan ID card nor a Moroccan passport, and they can't even obtain one because there is no indication of their being Moroccan.
The plan of legalizing citizens was not fully implemented in 1985. Thousands of people from Melilla took residence card and were known as Spanish residents. However, the government neglected some 60 people who had been born in Melilla and they are still living illegally in their city. I used to have medical insurance. After I came of age, they took that from me because I hadn't been registered as a resident on the list from Melilla's municipality. And now I'm under psychiatric treatment. Just now, number two in the clinic was me, and I was refused examination because my medical insurance had been invalidated. Upon taking out medical insurance, I have no right to refer to a family doctor. If something happens, I'll have to go to the emergency ward and pay all the expenses. My pills are about to finish, and they don't write out a prescription for me. They say it is not possible because I don't have medical insurance, because I don't have residence card.
I have just nothing. I should undergo two surgeries, but I can't. I can do neither of them. Never, never have I seen a doctor. I managed to leave to go to a doctor once and then I wasn't let in. I begged them quite a lot and said I am from the hills, Maria Cristina Hills, where the monks live, till they let me in. When I reached, what you may call it, the agency bureau. No, not the agency. I mean the immigration office. In there, they tell us we don't have a work contract. Well, how am I supposed to have a contract when I don't have any legal documents? I can't have a job without a permit. I have to have a work contract. They tell me to go and they themselves will land a contract for me.
Who are they?
It beats me. They know that better. And now we have submitted our documents and our file is at state agency at the moment. They tell us everything is going well. That's what we bargained for, residence papers, and that's flat. We just want them to help us, just this. Residence card, medical insurance, and that's all. I don't demand a job or anything special from them. Now I'm 58 years old. I just require a residence permit and medical insurance from them.
Wherever we go and whatever we want to do is to be complained at for not having residency. It is required to have a residence card for opening a bank account, so as for getting a driving license, just for anything. They ask me for it and I don't have one. Once again, I ask for one, but my lawyer said they say no. Their response is surely negative because my file is short of a work contract. If I make a work contract, I will miss the monthly financial aid I receive from the government, and the result of my residence inquiry may come as positive or negative. If it is negative, I'll have missed both the monthly financial aid and the residency.
In order to use the schools and public educational centers in Melilla, a citizen's status has to be legal. That is, they should have a residence card. You don't exist without a residence card, no actual existence, which is why there is an unconventional institute in Melilla named Moroccan Spanish School. This institute comprises many people and is a center run according to Moroccan regulations, not Spanish educational system. And upon issuing a certificate, it is faced with lots of problems because it cannot award an officially Spanish certificate. So what happens then? They are distinguished in two ways. One is that they teach Islamic religion, and the other is they hold Arabic training classes. These circumstances are highly important for part of people in Melilla. What's more important is that people without residency can refer to the center.
I go to class, but not in an adequate center, rather in a Moroccan Spanish school. I would really like to study in a center other than that, but since I don't have residency, I'm not granted the permission. They're all from Morocco, because those from Melilla are considered as a minority. There are so few. The majority of them lack residency.
Educational atmosphere in Melilla enjoys exceptional circumstances. Firstly, the majority of students getting compulsory education are ethnically equal, approximately 57%. 36% of these students are of European descent from Melilla, 7% of them are of mixed race, and 1% of them are Jews. Another point is that the number of students has significantly increased in recent years. When we speak of a budget cut in education, that is to say 41 fewer teachers and 2,000 more students, which is the exact meaning of educational reform, it means we had a remarkable growth in the number of students. Educational level in Melilla and Ceuta is the lowest in comparison with the European capitals.
I am from Maria Cristina Hills. I am a father of a big family and in exceptional circumstances. At present, I am out of work, like many other fathers. Since long ago, they have abandoned us here in this neighborhood, in Maria Cristina Hills. How can I put it? They have abandoned us in God's care. Our teenagers, who are about 17 or 18, didn't finish school, which is why they have lots of problems finding a job. They also can't go into the army or sit state recruitment tests, since their educational level is lower than other centers in the country. They couldn't even work a bit.
When speaking of dropping out of school at early ages, we see that its average in Spain is double compared to the rest of EU members, around 12.8% in Europe and 25% in Spain. But our statistics here in Spain is twice as much as that in Europe, that is 37%. This situation will get worse compared to last year. Reforming and austerity measures shouldn't ignore these circumstances. As can be seen, these circumstances are very unsettling because we are speaking of the youths who are low in level, and these individuals will definitely fall prey to unfavorable situations in a society that wishes to flourish in a calm and clash-free circumstances. These facts and figures are so threatening.
We knew each other from the very beginning.
From our neighborhood, since we were children.
Since school, we have always been together.
Yes, we have always been together.
What do you study?
I'm doing a course in electrical work.
I intend to do the same.
I'm very interested and I'm doing just well.
Why are you interested in this field?
Since this can be a first step to getting a certificate, at least equivalent to a diploma.
And that we can become an electrician in the future.
If they know you have a diploma, you will be employed as an electrician.
There are so many people in Melilla who need a job.
We have lots of jobless people in here.
In Ceuta, Melilla, and all the areas included, we witness a yawning gap between various educational centers. What does that mean? It means that in private centers, we often see the students whose fathers culturally, financially, and professionally have a high standing compared to the whole of Spain, even higher than Navarra, an industrial province in the north of the country, or even Madrid, the capital. In state schools, there are the children of parents who have the lowest cultural level in comparison with other countries, and this causes the gap between the educational centers of these two cities to be significant compared with the level of internal centers or the EU. Maria Cristina Hill is in outskirts of the city. Its students gradually go to the Mediterranean school, which is considered among centers with difficulty. Some go to the Spanish school, which also has exceptional circumstances in its course of action. This area simply houses the unemployed population of over 50%.
Negativas para el futuro de la sociedad melillense.
As with work, there is not a precise information database to which one can refer for queries or submit their resume. When you go to turn in your CV, it's as if you gave them an invalid football match ticket. It's of no use, just no use. Here, only connections are useful. In here, work contracts are just transferred from one friend to another. Only one's interests are that matter. It's always a question of doing a favour, and that you must always pay the price for it. Job Seekers Office and other related offices are just for mocking the jobless. For mocking the jobless, why? Because, for example, every year they draw up a plan to recruit 1,000 people, but you will never know when your turn is to get the job. 3 or 4 years may pass, and every time you sign the papers for the Dole, and still no news, whereas some individuals are called upon every year. How come? Just because they are so-and-so's friend or an acquaintance of whoever, or they have voted for so-and-so's party, or they did someone a favour and in return. Here, it's like a banana republic.
In Melilla, there is a historical debt to Muslims, and it's been nearly 40 or 50 years since then, and that was for the reason that they never had the right to use and have the minima in the society. The minima, which gave them the right to study, to progress, to major in an academic field, to find a job, and to shape their own future. This tardiness in the recognition of rights led to the highest rate of unemployment in this area in terms of population compared to the whole Europe. It is worth noting that we have the highest rate of birth as well, and that's because most Moroccans cross the border to deliver their babies in the city hospital, and this causes an increase in the rates. In my view, this high rate of birth, of course, has another reason, and that's the lack of quality education, which is due to the belated recognition of these citizens' rights, which are equally held by all in Spain.
The matter of fact is, there are lots of people in this neighborhood who are in terrible circumstances. Of course, not just in this place, but also in other neighborhoods as well. I talk about my own neighborhood because I think this neighborhood is in worse condition than others. I talk about Cañada, as well as Rina Regenta, Carber Rizas, Maria Cristina Hill, and Atek Seku. These neighborhoods are in the outskirts of the city, the neighborhoods which have been oppressed for their whole lives regarding unemployment, facilities, equipment, progress, and security.
Living in Melilla is so difficult, really difficult. Housing is another problem we have here. The government doesn't provide housing here. The buildings constructed are far from here and in the outskirts, somehow away from here, and the Muslim communities is settled out of the city. Totally separate, and among them are the Spaniards, or rather, we are Spanish. For instance, there is not a health center in Maria Cristina Hills. An old woman of 70 in need of just a doctor's prescription for her drugs has to foot it all the way down and then all the way back up. While there must be a medical center here or a pharmacy, and the presence of a physician to write out prescriptions and deal with emergencies is essential. You have no idea how difficult it is to go up and down this hill path just for a prescription. The same condition holds true for dealing with matters related to the municipality, registrations office, and other official affairs.
I came here around 8 or 9 years ago, and it is totally deserted now. Just look. Of course, there are two kittens with their mom. Once one of the neighbors told me, can't remember exactly where, he told me he had found a snake in here, so huge.
¿Qué hace? ¿Cómo
How
está?
Are you? What are you doing?
Esto antiguamente era confitería de señor Julián, su hijo Enrique.
There used to be Mr. Julián's confectionery here. He had two sons, Enrique and Pepe. We were all from this neighborhood. When his spouse, Mrs. Carmina, died, Mr. Julián became so lonely. He closed down his store and left this neighborhood to live with his children. With the passage of time, others left as well. The boy calling me just now, Nene, used to be our neighbor. You know what's wrong with the media here? Here all the media belong to the right wing, such as the Melinas newspaper, El Farro, and the like. That's why instead of putting out various items to tender, they give some to these media, some to Melinas TV, and that's how they divvy up everything.
Aquí no funciona nada. No funciona nada porque
nothing works properly here. It doesn't work because nothing is in its own place. Everything is sort of arbitrary, for we are in Spain, but it looks like we are not. As though we really are not here because Spanish laws are not enforced here like other parts of the country. The problem is that in Melilla, matters are dealt with differently from the peninsula. The result is that we here are not regarded as part of Spain. Melilla is just nominally part of Spain. Otherwise, laws are not applied here as they are in Spain.
Aquí estoy viendo la cárcel, junto a las casas.
Here you can see a prison next to residences. The point of fact is they have no clue how far they should be placed from one another. But here it's some 30, 40, 50 meters. Of course, there's a building much nearer further up. Here's where kids play. They're playing by a prison. Imagine what they're to be as they grow up.
They say kids can't play here. They mustn't play here for this and that.
For your information, these men have been our neighbors for a whole lifetime. He's more intimate with my older brother. They're close. Of course, I think he's older than my brother. Yeah, right. You used to live down below.
No, I've always lived just here. My father used to live there. I used to live here with my granddad and other family members in the unit upstairs, and then I purchased a home in the east in 1986.
I thought you lived down here.
I used to be with Pedro, but basically lived here. It was my residence from the beginning. It was 1975 when I went down there to live, but I had been living in here as of 1959 to 1975. Then again, I moved back here to this neighborhood because, as I said, I'd purchased a home. I used to be living with my granddad up until 1986 when I bought a home. I've lived here all my life. Those homes up there were built around 1920 or 1930. They were traded by the Ministry of Defense, and now they say they are illegal. These two houses are illegal. Why? Because the prison was built there around 1980, so who has occupied this place? I know that in the peninsula and other areas, prisons are constructed outside the cities. However, they say we're illegal and they're legal. By the way, how have they constructed the buildings in Maria Cristina Hills? How come? Because they belong to the state constructions but are illegal? They deem legal what they favor and illegal what they don't. For instance, constructing a football pitch for kids is illegal in here, but constructing high towers from which the precincts of the prisons can be overlooked and from the terrace of which narcotic drugs can be tossed in is allegedly okay and legal. Why? Because the project is run by the Ministry of Interior.
The police pass by here from time to time, and when they do...
About cannabis, lots of it is tossed into the prison, and in return, stone is hurled from there. It's likely the stones tear apart one's head and knock them down.
Just recently, you were pelted with stones out of the blue.
I live just behind the prison, and there also you can find the stones. Now, whether they toss cannabis or money, this can't be continued. How many heads are to be aimed at with these stones.
Para colmo de males, por si no tenía males.
For exacerbating the situation further, if possible, a prison was opened up in Melilla in 1994. Old Melilla used to have a prison when it was built, when its historical sites were built, and the word has it that all those who used to come to Melilla were prisoners because it was like Alcatraz. So to speak, underground, that on one side it's surrounded by water and on the other side it's desert as far as the horizon, isn't it? Melilla's prison at the time was Victoria's prison, which dated back to 1400-something and was somehow a third-world prison. The brilliant idea of building a prison struck men, and vice and misdeeds intensified far more.
It's no big deal to have the cemetery in here. The problem is when they burn dead bodies, they are cremated and the stink is insufferable.
It spews lots of smoke, and as I look at the cemetery, I don't utter a word, no nagging, but I guess the fumes it belches out are detrimental to one's health. You burn wood and it smells, so does a human when cremated, but the latter is very reeky.
Where shall I begin? We were born here, me, my four brothers and three sisters. From my memory, Melilla and its mount were all rocky, goats and stuff. Melilla has transformed a lot since 1955. My parents came here. My father had a store in Melilla Mount, a cafe in Piligon. In 1958, he immigrated to Germany and stayed there for 20 years until retirement. When we all grew up, we went to Spain because I had got back from Germany in 1992 after being abroad for 17 years. When I returned here to Maria Cristina Hills, I saw the prison and the antenna, the revolving antenna and the communication antenna, which causes the people's death of cancer without them knowing.
They should have placed the antenna in the pines where there's another antenna as well. That wouldn't harm if they had put it up there. But they put it up here. This antenna, I mean. There's another one over there, as you see now.
The worst thing ever we have here in Maria Cristina Hills are the choppers that fly very low and leave us deaf.
Look how low they are flying and the dust they raise. Just look at the dust.
It kept flying so low that it blanketed the whole neighborhood with dust and mud. As I got out, I covered my mouth with my shirt, otherwise I would get sick. Everybody should do so because they'll go sick. I, for one, have an allergy.
From those islands, the Jafaria Islands, they haul cargo. They do so every day.
They fill the neighborhood with dust.
No way can I breathe a day without pills. I've been this way since childhood. I was born here in the Mount, and all those born here have the same problem. Dust and dampness have also invaded the homes.
Ample dampness that exists in here is due to the beach near here.
In summer, it smells bad in the house.
The house gets full of flies and mosquitoes. My doctor has told me to take pills every day when I have a shot.
Yeah, for my whole lifetime.
Now we are two households with this problem.
Look, what about this antenna? Does it pose any problems? Sure it does for us. That's the worst thing ever. The worst thing ever that exists.
Every neighborhood has its own problems, but our main problem is with the dumping site in which garbage is recycled. We have an incinerator which burns some 120 tons of various refuse in Melilla per day and is the only recycling system, and next to which is a neighborhood where the whole building scrap of the city is dumped. So that's one problem on one side, and on the other side are the heavy goods vehicles which pass through the neighborhood and cause problems for the neighbors, such as shakes, noise, and some more.
What can I say? They are washing a truck. They are washing a truck 300 or 400 meters away from the homes, and what noises they make. We have had it with all this noise, plus the stink from the refuse out there, and the ashes which are from the garbage, but are poisonous. These have a negative effect on not only the neighborhood and Maria Cristina Hills, but also on the whole Melilla. However, mostly on us, ourselves. Every summer, they close that site for a month and clean the machine and stuff, but it's too stinky for us to leave the house.
This is an incinerator in which they drop the garbage. Here we have broken glass and may cut our feet, empty bottles and lots of other refuse.
Here you can no way walk in the streets in summer due to the bad smell.
You have to rewash the clothes for they smell too bad. You should have a room or something in your house to hang them inside to dry.
The problem with the incinerator is that it was made 10 years ago with this presumption that Melilla will face land problems burying the waste, and that was why they thought burning the waste was the best solution. But the problem is, an incinerator does not annihilate the waste. Rather, it reduces its mass and turns harmless refuse to dangerous refuse. On one side, there is wet garbage, which is in a pit, is burnt, and something should be done about it. The existence of ash and waste is the outcome of a burner, which cannot do what it's expected to on the grounds that it has been made for 107 tons of waste a day, while it is a decade that it's received 120 tons, so it should keep burning at a speed higher than the desired one. Moreover, the ash and the residue of waste are in turn changed into dangerous waste, for which there is no safe landfill in here, and they are transformed into ample fumes that spew out of this incinerator, and that's probably our worst problem, because we are talking about toxic compounds such as dioxins and furan, which are the components of mustard gas.
Bueno, el gas mostaza son los componentes del gas mostaza.
What makes the neighbors concerned is that many think such diseases as cancer, asthma, and respiratory problems are linked to the air they breathe in the area. Further research reveals that such diseases are more common among those living in the vicinity of incinerators, not just here in Melilla, but in most European states.
The incinerator affects our health and makes us sick.
So much so that we can't breathe well and develop asthma and allergies.
The smoke and fumes blowing out of there are harmful to people.
My face flames, I go all red. I itch all over, eyes, nose, just all over.
I had a blocked nose and could barely speak. I had sore eyes and achy head. I, for one, never complain of anything. I don't know. That situation was unusual for me.
Melilla is much beholden to this neighborhood because historically people in Melilla have always hauled their garbage up to here. In the 1970s, there was only half a kilo of waste produced a day, and logically, we had no incinerator, and it would all be taken to El Buquet to be burnt.
There is some stuff, I don't know what, it's black and stinky. The smell drifts along up to this place. Terrible stink. Here is filled with flies, mosquitoes, and the like. I can remember here being full of water. It would come up to here. Now it's brimming with that black stuff that, whatchamacallit. That's the garbage we have here, and it's no good. That's why they have covered it. What's worse is it's near the cemetery. They attack and bite. They bite and harm you. This terrible stink aside, one fly or two get into your mouth and nostrils, and you should grin and bear it.
At first, only one incinerator had been made with a capacity of 50 tons a day. However, on the day of unveiling, the waste amounted to 60 tons for all calculations had been made on the basis of the 70s statistics. And on the grounds that it took a decade to manufacture the incinerator and the statistics were no longer valid. We called that smoke factory, and at the time, nearly all across Melilla, we had a smell of smoke, for example, in the nights when we had a weather inversion. The incinerator was unusable, which is why the current incinerator was made in the 1990s and works much better than the previous one. And as for the protection of people against pollution, you won't see the smoke from that previous burner. Nevertheless, we are talking about the pollutants, which are not visible, and for this reason, there is no concern about this regard outside the city. As a matter of fact, the relation between the diseases and the incinerator within a several kilometer radius is very much direct. And as with Melilla, we are quite all involved because of living at a distance of 2 or 3 kilometers from the incinerator.
A neighborhood with such an altitude that the beautiful shores of which are catching to the eye.
The bad point is that we have this landfill, cemetery, and prison in here.
Prison, incinerator, heliport, arsenal, TV and mobile communication antenna. Yes, we have them all here.
Yeah, our neighborhood is derelict. There's nothing good in here.
Therefore, this is the status of the neighborhood to which the locals have got accustomed to, and this cannot be perceived by other means. It's just right that one can adjust themselves to any circumstances, but it happens when all such conditions as tranquility, hygiene, and morale, which all people in a self-governing city aspire to have, exist, and those petty rules that the municipalities lay down concerning the magnitude of noise pollution, decibels, hygiene, and so on, should be enforced in entirety. Of course, these are all sarcastic.
When I was little, the neighborhood used to be different, something quite different without the prison. Although they dumped all their waste here, at least they wouldn't burn it, and we wouldn't get disturbed. But now we do, and this antenna didn't used to be here, but now it is, which harms us, and the presence of a mobile communication antenna undoubtedly equals cancer.
What would you like to do first when you get your papers?
First, I'll see a doctor because I'm badly ill. I have such an inexplicable pain. That's what I'll do in the first place when I get my papers, God willing.
Here you should fight for your rights. They are used to it. If you can't do so, you will never be granted your rights.
When I go to the agency bureau, they say the only way is to marry a national. Why on earth should I marry a national while I'm too young? I haven't reached the age of marriage yet. They must hand me my papers to shape my future and run a business, just this.
When I obtain my electrical work certificate, I'll go to Germany because in Spain and particularly in Melilla, the conditions are not adequate.
No one wants to stay here. No one. This valley is an obstacle. Otherwise, the people can't stand this place. Life is unbearable here for the one who is out of work.
What can I say?
Here, everything has been politicized and barely do the people protest. No one complains. Nobody objects when it's necessary. They stay in their homes. That's the way it is.